June 28, 2020. Wellsville Full Gospel. Interim Pastor, Tom Brazell. Sermon title, Gifts of the Spirit, Part 2.
Get into the Word, and then we'll take a break, and hopefully you brought something to snack on. We'll do that. Not a long time. I'm thinking we can easily do what we're going to do in 10 or 15 minutes. And then we'll have our business meeting, which I really don't expect to be a very long thing. I think it's pretty straightforward. There's no curveballs coming your way. It's really more information than it is anything else. So the wind is wanting to blow things away here. So that's the plan this morning. So we'll try to stick to that. You have a bulletin. Just one thing I would like to point out to you is that we are having our church picnic on the 26th of July, Sunday. Now, normally we've been having it down there in Pennsylvania. We're not doing that this year. They're going to break tradition. Oh, no. And the reason being, it's a lot of work to get down there and pick everything up and go there. And we have this beautiful property right here, and the only thing we don't have is a swimming pool, so we'll get a hose out and squirt the kids, okay? But we really felt we don't need to go down there. And maybe next year we'll do it again. Hopefully that'll be somebody else's decision. But this time there's just too much work to do to move everything down there and then take it all down and bring it all back and all that. So that's what we're going to do, and hopefully that will be agreeable to you all, and hopefully by next year we will be making the decision more based on what we feel to do rather than the logistics of it, because right now the logistics are just, in my mind, they're just a little bit overwhelming to try to get it all done. So we want everybody to enjoy that Sunday. Amen? Okay, so I think that pretty much does it. You should have received, if you didn't, there's reference sheets up here. Please feel free to come up and it will help you. I'm not going to try to cover everything. And as a matter of fact, I doubt very highly that I'm going to get through half of that. So we'll see where it goes, and whatever we don't finish this week, we'll finish next week. I don't want to drag anything on, but on the other hand, I don't want to compromise. You know, if you remember, before you got your permit, actually, you had to study the manual, and then you had to pass a test. And if you passed the written test, then they gave you a permit, and they allowed you to get behind the wheel of a car so you could drive. Okay, so before you got behind the 3,000-pound vehicle and went tooling down the street with it, they wanted you to know the rules of the road, who had the right of way. They wanted you to know what the stop signs meant and the yield and all that stuff. And so once you learn that, then you could get in and actually begin practicing. So really what we're doing right now is we're not that we're going to take a written test. I'm not saying that. But that what we are doing is we are learning what the gifts of the Spirit are, how the Holy Spirit moves. We're going to more and more. Today, it'll really kind of change gears a little bit. We're going to be talking a little bit more about how to, I don't want to use the word regulate, but how to keep the gifts under control. Not taking control from the Holy Spirit, but keeping ourselves under control as we move in the gifts. Because I know one guy said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire, and I think I go along with that. But on the other hand, it can get crazy if we don't understand how the gifts are supposed to work in the church, what they're for, and that. So that's what we're doing. And you might be thinking, well, he's been on this for a while. Is he ever going to get off of it? Yes, someday. someday. But right now, I really feel like we need to prepare. We need, before the Holy Ghost is going to give us the keys to that 3,000-pound car, He wants us to know what are the gifts for, how are they used in the church. You know, I've had experiences where somebody just really in the middle of a service got way out of control and talked to him after, and their response was, I couldn't help it. The Holy Ghost came on me. No, you can help it, you know, and so we need to understand how things fit. So that's what we're doing, but we're moving closer and closer. A guy I know used to say there's different ways to get hungry. You know, they can watch somebody and say, I'm hungry for what they have, and sometimes you just preach I'm hungry. I'm trying to preach you're hungry. You know, I'm trying to hold up something that you might say, you know what? Maybe there was a time in my life when this was more commonplace in the church than it is now, and I want those days back. I want the days back when the Holy Ghost can do what he wants to do among us, and he can use anyone he wants to use at any time he wants to use it, because it is his deal, not ours. So my hope is that as we're going through this, you can be saying, I want that. I want to see that in our church. And as we are filled with the Spirit, and as the gifts of the Spirit begin to flow out of our lives, it's not only going to be here that we're going to be blessed, but it's going to be wherever you go. You're going to be that person that the Holy Spirit can use, maybe give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, maybe a prophecy, whatever it might be for someone, and it can change their lives. And you might not even know you're doing it, but the Holy Spirit's working there. So anyhow, last week we started looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and we found all these verses that I'm going to the gifts are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we went through all that last week, so I'm not going to go through that all right now. We did look last week at the three revelation gifts, which are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, and we looked at faith. So we got four out of the way, and today we're going to get, I don't know how many, we'll get a few out of the way today, and we'll just go with that. So we want to stir up these gifts within us. We want to say, Holy Spirit, touch us. And I'm available. Remember the two switch theory. God's got an on-off switch. You got an on-off switch. You keep your switch in the on position all the time. So anytime that he puts his on switch on, there is a flow to you, and you are able to be there and ready to do what God wants you to do. He wants to use you. You realize that? This is his desire, that he can use you, and not just use the same person all the time, or, well, the pastor or an elder or whatever. He wants to use all of us. And so he can if we allow him to, and he will if we allow him to. So we looked at the word of wisdom, just so you remember. And if you weren't here or you'd like to go through this again, all these things are on our website. You can just listen to the messages again and again and again and again if you want to. Okay, so the word of wisdom is a totally supernatural insight into the purposes of God. Okay, that's a word of wisdom, totally supernatural. The word of knowledge is a totally supernatural revelation of facts and information, that you know something that you wouldn't otherwise know. Discerning of spirits is a totally supernatural knowledge of the spiritual source of different manifestations or activities. This is really important for us as we move in the realms of the spirit and the supernatural. Not all signs and not everything supernatural has its source in God, and we need to have some at least moving in this gift. The gifts of healing, we talked about this. It's a totally supernatural ability to release the healing power of God. How does that work? I don't know how it works. I just know that my switch is closed, God's switch is closed, and healing will flow to someone. If we never pray for anyone, then we will never experience that gift. So there has got to be a place where we're making a step into any one of these gifts and the other ones that we're going to talk about. We need to take a step into it. Will you make a mistake? Absolutely, you'll make mistakes. So join the club of fallible human beings. So you make a mistake, so what? So you learn from that, and then you do better the next time. So anyhow, today we want to look at faith. I think that's where we are today. Faith is a totally supernatural belief which enables great works for God. Now, there is a level of faith. All faith comes from God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. But there is this gift of faith, which is like a turbo. You know, it's like, you know, they used to have, I don't know if they still do, probably not, but most people here will get this. The old hand mixers, they used to have a little button called it the burst of power, you know, that thing. And I kind of see the gift of the Spirit, like this gift of faith, kind of like that. We're always moving in faith. We got faith to be saved. We're believing God for different things. But there comes times when we're just faced with something, and something rises up in us. And it's just a strong belief. It's just something that comes from God that you say, I believe something. And so there are gifts for the spiritual uses for this gift. It's employed for direct supernatural blessing and fulfillment of something that someone has said. For example, by faith, it says in Hebrews 11:20, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac had this faith, and as he pronounced what he pronounced over them, he had faith that these things were going to come to pass, and you know what? They came to pass. For personal protection, we need, sometimes we're in situations that are just a little bit unusual, they're a little perilous, and it says in Hebrews 11:33, it talks about these giants of faith, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouth of lions. Okay, so if you remember Daniel, right? I mean, he was thrown into the lion's den, and the next day the king said, Daniel, are you there? He said, I'm here, you know, and he was okay. He spent that night facing that lion, those lions, in faith. In Mark 16:18, it says that those who believe, those of faith, will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, this interesting verse is that some people have taken some of the things out of that verse. You handle snakes and things like that. You know, if you have faith, and you get snakes, and it's a little weird for me, you know, where you got no intentions of importing snakes or anything. But I do know this, that if we happen in everyday life to come into a situation where maybe one of them bites us, or maybe something else happens, that there can be a level of faith there where we can say, you know what, that's not going to hurt me. And it's not that we're just saying it; it's that we say it with this burst of power, this sense of faith that it's going to be okay. Mark 16:18, they'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Please do not go out and drink deadly things. I mean, that's not what it's saying. It's saying, I know many times when I was in Africa and out there in the bush where hygiene is not quite what it is in our finest restaurants here in the States. And I'd look at what I'm eating and I would just say, I can eat this. It don't look so great, but I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to trust God. I'll dig in, and I did, and here I am. I didn't die. So I don't know if any of that stuff was necessarily bad or not. But what I do know is that I looked at this and says, if I eat something bad, it's not going to hurt me, and so on. So faith is for personal protection. It's for receiving the promises of God. Romans 4:20. Speaking of Abraham, it says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I mean, Abraham had some promises, which we can't study all. We can't study everything I'd like to study at the same time, but he had some amazing promises that came his way, and it would have been easy to say, you know what, I don't think so. Maybe you have faith. Maybe you have promises in your life that have been there for a long time. Abraham had to wait a while for the fulfillment, and maybe you stopped believing in some of those promises. Well, you maybe need to go back and revisit them and ask God to put another fresh touch of faith on that, so you can say, you know what, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. It's gonna be what God wants it to be. And so Abraham, he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And so that's if the astounding promises of God, whether they're written in the Bible or whether they're personal to you, they take faith to energize. It talks about Hebrews. It says that the message preached to them did not benefit them as it did us because it was not mixed with faith. So simply hearing what God says, it's necessary to hear what he says, but we need a whole lot more than just hearing. We need to take what he gives us, and we need to mix it with faith. And that's a proactive thing. I'm not sure I can even explain it very well. All I know is that there are times when I just say, this is where I stand. This is where I believe God. And he's been pretty faithful. He's been pretty faithful, and I'm absolutely convinced he's going to continue to be. When sometimes faith is necessary, this one might not be a favorite of everybody, but to administer spiritual correction, okay, sometimes that takes faith. And there's an interesting story in Acts chapter 5 about a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And I often wonder how we would do in the United States to 21st century if we had an Ananias and Sapphira situation. But for those who don't know, Barnabas sold some land, and he brought it, and he gave the money to the apostles to distribute to the poor. And everybody was really happy with that. And so Barnabas probably got a lot of high fives, pats on the back, whether he wanted them or not. People said, that was good, Barnabas. You did. That was really good. Well, Ananias and Sapphira wanted some of that. And so they sold a piece of land, and Ananias came and gave Peter, let's just put some numbers on it, he gave him $1,000, and he said, Peter, I sold land, and here is the entire $1,000, I give it to you for the poor. And Peter said, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? You sold it for $2,000, when it was yours to do what you wanted with. Why did you lie about this? And so Peter just said, behold, the feet of those who are going to bury you, they're at the door, and Ananias went down. He died. It's like, wow. Put that in the church minutes. we'd have the troopers, we'd have the lights, they'd be coming up. We'd have the National Guard out on us. So then, they're just hanging out, and then later, his wife comes by, and Peter says, Sapphira, did you do this for so much money? And she said, yep, absolutely. He said, what was with you people? He said, the ones who buried your husband, they're going to bury you too. And she dropped down and she died. Now, that's the level of spiritual discipline that I don't think any of us really want. But what I want to say about this is not, I'm not talking about what's going to happen to any of us if we do the wrong thing. What I am saying here is that there was faith. For Peter to do this, he had to hear something from God and know what he was doing, and so he acted on that faith. So faith will sometimes be used to administer spiritual correction to offenders. Sometimes it's just to assist in problems that we have. In 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, we see the story of this woman, and she had this debt, and so Elisha the prophet comes, and she's really worried. And Elisha says to her, she said, what do you want me to do? And she says, I need help. And he says, okay, so what do you have in the house? I'm going to preach on this one of these days, someday, maybe. What do you have in the house? And her answer was, anybody know what her answer was? Nothing but. That's what she said. What do you have in the house? Nothing but. And he said to her, he said, okay, go borrow vessels, go get pots and pans and jugs and everything you can find, not a few, get a lot of them, and bring them here. And so they did that, and he took this little bit of oil, the very little bit that she had. She said, nothing but a little bit of oil. Said, okay, get it. And he said, okay, now start pouring that out. And she filled the first container with it and then a second container. And she filled every container to the brim with that oil. And then when everything was filled, if she would have had more, she would have got more oil. You know, the only reason the oil stopped was because she ran out of pots and pans to put it in. And so she poured all that oil in, and then the oil stopped. And then she said, okay, go sell the oil, and now you can pay your debts. Okay, so this is a miracle. It is a miracle, but it's a miracle. It's Elisha's miracle. It's the widow's faith that she actually did something with what she was. She could have said, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. Don't waste my time or whatever. But she did what she was told. That was her expression of faith, and God met her. What do we have in the house? This is going to be a sermon that's going to come someday, maybe. What do we have in the house? Sometimes we can say we have nothing but. I want to tell you something right now. Whatever you have, it's enough. God will take whatever we have if we put it in his hands and pour it out. That's another message for another day. But I'm telling you, we have exactly what we need in the house today to do what God wants us to do. That little divergence from the mornings, but I wanted you to hear it. Okay. Faith is not the basis of other gifts, but it often works in conjunction with other gifts, as in this time. Okay, so there we have that. Okay, miracles. This is another, the gift of miracles. It's a gift of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, and it's a totally supernatural ability to interrupt the natural order of things. Because there's a certain way things work. The sun goes this way, but Joshua says to God, "Why don't you bring it back a little bit?" That's a miracle. You know, he brought. That's not normal. In fact, that's contrary to the normal laws of nature and physics. Okay, the water turning into wine. It's not normal, but it's a miracle. It's a supernatural act on a natural plane. I got this definition of a miracle. It is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension in the accustomed order, an interruption of the system of nature as we know it. I like that when it says as we know it, because we don't know that much. But we do know certain things, and a miracle is something, you know, sometimes people say, you know, well, you know, they prayed the other day. Whoa, it was a miracle. Well, yeah, God was at work there. I get that. But a miracle, let's not lower what a miracle is. A miracle is something that shouldn't happen according to nature, but it does happen. God is not bound by his own laws. Now, miracles were used for deliverance of God's people. Moses, he took his staff. He went to the Red Sea, and they were trapped. Pharaoh's army is coming, and God says, Moses, take your staff and put it out over the water, and the water parted. That's a miracle. You know, somebody's trying to explain away this miracle, and they said, well, at that time of year, you know, the water wasn't that deep and everything. So I'm not sure if the miracle was the parting of the Red Sea or how all those people drowned in 2 inches of water. I'm not sure. Any way you look at it, there was a miracle involved there somehow. So the Bible says that it parted, and they went through, and then when they got to the other side and the Egyptian army was coming, he spoke, and the waters came back, and then there was a great destruction of Pharaoh's army, and Miriam got up and with her tambourine and started to sing, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and riders thrown into the sea." How many remember that old chorus? "I will sing unto the Lord, for he..." Okay. All right. I won't... That's a good song. Maybe we need to do that one of these days. I don't know. But that's a miracle. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Nobody can say that was anything but a miracle. Okay. Sometimes he uses a miracle to provide for those who are in need. Moses, Exodus 17, they needed water. So God said, okay, take your staff and hit the rock and water will come out. I've hit a lot of rocks. I've never had water come out. Never. Let's try it. Not a thing. Okay. So I guess it's because we got water back there and we don't need what we actually needed water. Maybe it would have came out. But what I do know is that there was a miracle of provision there of something they needed. In John 6, we see Jesus taking loaves and fishes and feeding 10, 12,000 people and having 12 basketful of leftovers. That's a miracle. You know, one time we were pastoring in Buffalo. And it was a very cold morning. It was like, I think it was 18 below that morning. A lot of people couldn't get to church. So I was with my car, which was frozen, by the way. My car, I would drive and I would get people back. I would drive my car till it overheated because it was all frozen. And I'd wait for it to thaw out and I'd go get more people. So this is how we got people to church. And then some people who drove in, their cars didn't start again after the service. So we brought all these people back to our house. Our house was filled with people. And she had a little bit, she's shaking her head because I'm not lying here. So we had a little pot of what was it, goulash? Spaghetti sauce. And so it's just a pot going to feed us and one other family that we had arranged already to come home for us. Now we had this whole bunch of people in our house, and I mean, what are we going to do, eat, and they're going to watch us, you know? So you think, okay, well, we don't have a lot, but we'll share. And we shared and we shared and we fed all the people out of that little pot. And when we were done feeding all the people, the pot was empty. That's just the way God is, you know. So that was a miracle. That was a miracle. I actually wish we could kind of control that one. We wouldn't have to go to grocery stores. I mean, it'd be a lot of conveniences to be able to just, you know, do that. But that's not how it works. But when we need it, he's going to come through. Miracles confirm the word of God. Now, one of the things, I know it says in Mark that they went everywhere preaching the word, God working with them with signs following. Okay, so when you think about that, what kind of miracles followed the word? Well, if somebody is preaching salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, the expectation is that there's going to be a response to that word and people will get saved. If somebody is preaching about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, miracles, signs, wonders, all of those things, what should we expect the signs to be? The very thing that's being preached. When as long as we stay in his word, it says he went everywhere working with them with signs following. And so my expectation, and the only reason that I've headed down this path is not because I want to just give you a course on the Holy Spirit. I want this to somehow be the prelude, as I've already said, the prelude to the confirmation of God's word upon us as a church. I fully expect it. I'm praying for it. I want it. Get ready for it. Some are going to love it. Some are not. Some are going to say, oh yeah. Some are going to say, oh my. But God is going to do what he's going to do. And then we just have to let him be God. So he confirms the word. There's a story in Acts chapter 13 of Paul. He was out on his first missionary journey and very early on it, and he began to preach to this guy, this proconsul, and his servant began to be obnoxious and give him a hard time. And so Paul looked at him and he told him that you are full of deceit. He called him all kinds of things, and the son of the devil, and so on. And he said, you're not going to see for a while. I'm declaring you blind. And the guy all of a sudden said, like a mist came over his eyes, and he's groping around. And it says, then the proconsul believed. It's like got his attention. You know, that's the miracles get attention, and that's okay. They should get attention. That's what God wants them to do. Sometimes miracles are just to deliver us from unavoidable situations of danger. And I put unavoidable there on purpose because I do think that miracles ought to be used when they're needed, but they ought not to be a substitute for common sense. Okay, there's some things we can avoid ourselves, and we should do that. But there are unavoidable situations, like Jesus and his disciples in the boat. They got in there, and the storm came up, and they woke Jesus up, and he said to the storm, he said, stop. And the storm stopped. And again, it got their attention. There's another place where Paul was shipwrecked, and he was putting wood on the fire because they were cold and wet from being shipwrecked. And as they reached into the bundle of sticks, a viper came and hung on it, you know, bit him. And so he took that and he just shook that into the fire, and it was the end of that. Everybody was looking, waiting for him to die. He didn't die. So, he had great favor with those people because they saw. So miracles had come in all sorts of ways. One of the things miracles are great for is just to display God's power and magnificence. It's God on display. It's not, if God is so gracious to use you in a miracle, please give God glory. Don't take it on, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm a pretty holy guy, and well, I prayed 2 hours this morning, and you know, so God pretty much is going to do what I want him to do. You know, there are some that start so well under the anointing, but they somehow get all full of themselves, and it's never ends well like that. So if God is so gracious to work miracles among us, and I believe he will be, we will always point to him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. This was you. Psalm 152 says, praise him for his mighty acts. He uses us, but they're his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So that's what we want to do. So we've looked at the power gifts now, gifts of healing, faith, and working of miracles. And now we want to launch into the, we're not going to launch into the vocal gifts, except to say a couple things about them. And then we will break, and we will have our lunch, and we will have our meeting, and we will have a good time. I am prophesying and I am believing that this is going to be just a fabulous church meeting, and the joy and the peace of God is going to reign over us, and we are going to leave saying this was a good day. So what we're going to look at, and this I don't want to hurry through this, so this is probably good I stop right here, and that is we want to talk about the gift of tongues, we want to talk about interpretation of tongues, and we want to look at prophecy. Now, we had some prophetic words this morning that came forth, and up here we have something I call the prophetic triangle. We're going to have to wait until next week. By the way, these things that you have, these handouts, please keep them, put them in your Bible, bring them back next week, because we're going to pick up. But I just want to say a couple things about tongues, just to kind of whet your appetite on it. Tongues is a supernatural utterance of the Holy Spirit in a language never learned by the speaker nor understood in the mind of the speaker, and it's nearly always not understood in the mind of the hearer. But that's a lot. Let me say it again. Tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in a language never learned by the speaker nor understood in the mind of the speaker, nearly always not understood in the mind of the hearer. Now, this is the most prominent of most widely dispersed gift of the Spirit, speaking in tongues. You know, I've heard people who were critical of this gift say, you know, well, I heard somebody speaking in tongues, and that was just gibberish. You know, that's what they say. It's just gibberish. So I'm not really sure how they know that, because it seems they don't know all languages. But I do know when I first got to Africa and I first learned Lingala. Okay, I didn't learn it yet. I was just hearing it. It was a brand new to my ear. Now, Lingala is a Bantu language, and it sounds something like this. Mbote mingi na komo na Yesu, tozali na moninga na biso, te na esengeli parnabino. Okay, so I'm listening to that. Basically, I said, good morning, everyone. This is great. You know, it's a joy to see you. That's what I said. But when I first heard that, it sounded very much to me like ooga booga. You know, it was like, I was like, that can't possibly be a language. It can't. And I've heard other languages. I'm thinking, get out. But people are communicating. So not because we don't understand, because it doesn't sound like a Latin-based language, which Spanish or German or whatever, we can kind of French, we can kind of figure some things out. But you get some languages that have no basis in Latin, and it doesn't sound like our language at all. And so sometimes people speak in tongues, and somebody says, well, that's just, you know, they're just, that's gibberish. Well, no, it's not. If it's a gift of spirit, it's not gibberish at all. It's just a language, guess what, you don't know. And that's if you knew it, maybe it wouldn't be tongues, you know, if you knew it. But you, so to try to speak something that you know if you do that, it might be a wonderful thing, but it might be prophecy. It might not be tongues at all if you know. So just want to say one more thing about tongues. I don't know exactly how everybody feels about tongues. I want to tell you how I feel about it. I feel that the Bible says you can all speak in tongues. I believe we can all speak in tongues as we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe that there is a flow of the Holy Spirit. Some I know have struggled and not got there, and we're going to believe God for breakthrough. Some don't believe it possibly. Well, then you're going to have to wrestle with the Word of God, because if the same Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, if that same Bible says you may all speak in tongues, I guess I have to believe both or believe neither. So it is either in the Bible or it's not. And there's a very special use for the gift of tongues. By the way, just so you realize, tongues was originally spoke of by Jesus. He says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. So if you got an argument with the whole tongues concept, your argument isn't really with the preacher. The argument really is with the Lord, who thought it was important enough to mention it in his closing words to his disciples. Okay, so I just want you all to get geared up and say, you know what, we're heading into some exciting times. Not just things to watch, but to be participants. Not armchair spectators, but people that God is going to use to edify one another in this place and to help establish the kingdom of God. So we need to talk more about this, obviously. We will next week. But would you be so kind as to be praying about this? And you don't have to know specific. You don't have to tell God what to do. Like many of my prayers are telling him what to do. Lord, I need this, and here's what I want you to do. He doesn't need our help in that way, but he does need our openness and our cooperation. So we need to be praying, Lord, whatever it looks like and however you want to do it, Lord, we want you to work here in our church, and we want you to work in us. If you just make that your prayer, and make me hungry so that when you're ready, I am ready as well. Okay, so if we do that, let's pray together. Let's believe God together. Folks, we're on the cusp of something here that it's just stirring there. I just got this. You know, Elijah, I got to stop here. I had to stop back there. But Elijah, and when there was a famine, he sent his servant out, and he said I prophesied rain. He said, but it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And so he said, go look and see. And the guy came back, and he said, what'd you see? He said, well, I saw a little cloud out there, just like a man's hand. And so he got down and he prayed. I think it was 7 times he prayed. And then the rain came. And it was amazing. So sometimes we see things, maybe it's like a little wisp of a cloud off there. But what that is the leading edge of a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. So we're just keeping our switches closed, and we're keeping our hearts open, and we're going to believe God together. So, Father, we are thankful to you that you have given us the teaching in your word concerning the gifts of the Spirit. We want them. Your word says, desire spiritual gifts. Yes, we desire. And we desire to be used, each and every one of us. We don't want to be proud. We don't want to be arrogant. We don't want to be any of that. But we want to be instruments in your hand to do what you want to do. And so we are making ourselves available to you. Lord, we pray you'd bless our lunch. Pray that you bless our fellowship. And Lord, as we get together in just a few minutes, we pray that you would also bless our business meeting. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's roughly 10 to 12. I am thinking 15 minutes is plenty of time to eat a sandwich, have something to drink. And so I'm going to say at 5 after 12, we are going to convene our meeting. And at 6 after 12, we will adjourn. So we will have, God bless you, have a great time eating.